Hi, I'm Scott Schaefer, your host. This is the second of 12 episodes that take you through the nuts and bolts of addressing the major types of dog fears and aggression. The first four episodes of this series, which we've only done one so far, deal with dogs who are aggressive or fearful around other dogs or humans outside of your home. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how important it is for you to be able to read your dog's body language when you have a dog like this that gets grumpy around other dogs and humans outside of your home, and how to properly use positive reinforcement when addressing these issues. All of this will be covered today, and future episodes, we're going to go into much more detail. Stay tuned. Are you struggling with a dog that is anxious or aggressive? You're at the right place because in this podcast series, we educate dog owners, veterinary practices, and dog trainers on how to overcome dog fear and aggression using humane methods. My name is Scott Schaefer, and it's my mission to help you better understand your dog's behavior. In our first episode in this 12-part series, I talked about the importance of leash control. In this episode, let's start by covering the importance of dog body language, canine body language, whatever you want to call it, when doing behavior modification exercises with your dog. In other words, working with your dog to help them overcome their fear and aggression toward unknown dogs and humans to them outside of your home. After we cover this, I'll briefly cover how to use positive reinforcement. I always like to ask my clients this question, especially new clients. Who is going to determine how fast we conduct behavior modification exercises with your dog? In other words, how fast are we going to move your dog through these exercises? Starting at the shallow end of the pool, moving them to the deep end of the pool as they can learn to tolerate these scary dogs and humans outside of your home, which is why they react the way they do. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a trick question, but the answer is, of course, you probably already guessed, the dog. Their dog is going to tell us how to pace things. Just like with humans, individual dogs learn at different rates, and it has little to nothing to do with the dog's intelligence or the human's intelligence. For example, if you were trying to conquer your fear of elevators or any other fear you might have, we all have fears. Wouldn't you really want to move at your own pace? Wouldn't you want to have an active dialogue with your counselor who's guiding through this process, letting them know how you're doing and what you're ready to do next? You may not be ready to go to the 50th floor of a building by an elevator at your second session with the counselor, but you might be ready to go to the second floor. Your dog is absolutely no different. The fact is, if you try to move too fast, we can actually make things worse. Really, really important. And this is the mistake I see people make all of the time with dogs like this. How do you dialogue with your dog so that you'll know that they are ready to do something new, to move on to the next step? The answer to this question is simple and actually a little challenging at the same time. The simple part is that your dog's body language, how they move, how they look, what they're doing with their body will tell you what they're thinking and how they are doing. This is how dogs communicate with each other and how they also, of course, communicate with us. A lot of people don't realize that. The language that dogs know is their dog body language. And they're good at it with one another, and so they're going to attempt to communicate with us in the same way. Just like we try to communicate with our dogs with our language, English, French, Spanish, whatever. And that's all we know how to do. We have to learn dog body language. The part that is a little challenging, of course, is for us to learn how to read our dog's body language. But it's not impossible. Before I tell you how I'm going to help you learn this very important skill, I want to remind you that if you're listening to this episode on an audio podcast player, that we now also have these episodes in video on our Grumpy Dogs YouTube channel. Find us on YouTube by searching for Grumpy Dogs channel or going directly to youtube.com/@Grumpy Dogs channel. All right. And how are you going to start learning or enhance what you already know about canine body language? Truth is, virtually 100% of my clients have some working knowledge of dog body language, but we need to take it kind of to the next level. Well, to help you do that, I have a free 49-minute video that covers all the basics of canine body language that you need to get started in learning dog speak. I'll provide a link in the episode description that will take you directly to this free video. Just got to click on it and you'll be playing it for free. Please pay extra attention to the parts on stress and fear in canine body language in that video. Almost without exception, after my clients watch this video, they say something like, "I had no idea my dog was telling me that all these years." Or something like, "I wish I would have known some of these things years ago." Some of the stories they tell me actually kind of break my heart because the dog has been screaming to them a message like, "I'm afraid of that." And they thought it was something else, like dominance or something like that. And it wasn't that at all. And so that's very moving. And most people that view it come away learning at least a few things. In my next episode, we'll start using some of your new knowledge that you got from the video to gauge when and where to do certain things with your dog and the exercises I'm going to show you to help with your dog's issues when being triggered by dogs and or humans outside of your home, typically when you're leash walking your dog. Just like with a person who is working to overcome their fear of elevators that I mentioned earlier, we have to look to your dog to let us know how fast to move. I'll show you how this works starting in the next episode. And we're looking to the dog for his body language to give us the hints that we need. The dog will tell us. And it's really cool how this works. And these behaviors, by the way, during these exercises are very predictable. Most dogs do the same things that all the other dogs do with these issues. Let me end this episode with a note about positive reinforcement. In addition to playing with distance to help your dog overcome triggers that I'll discuss in our next episode, you'll also use food rewards as well. So we're going to be looking at the body language and we're going to be carefully giving the dog food rewards. And like I said, in upcoming episodes, I'll show you how to do all that. The distance part is the desensitization or acclimation part of this treatment for your dog. And by the distance part, I mean we're going to be playing with distance from these triggers, humans or dogs, that your dog is scared or aggressive toward. And I'm going to show you how to do that. However, pairing with food treats, that's the positive reinforcement, is the counter conditioning or positive reinforcement part. And what we're going to be doing is telling your dog, "Hey, we are looking at your body language. We're going to keep you a certain distance away. And we're also going to be pairing things with food, events with food, so that we can make a new association." However, let's talk about giving dogs food treats when doing these exercises. When we give a dog a food treat as a reward during behavior exercises, it's important that we don't stuff the treat in the dog's mouth. Just like people, and this is a great example, who just got married don't like having a piece of wedding cake stuffed in their mouth during their reception. Dogs don't like this kind of thing either. We need to gently hold the treat about an inch in front of the dog's mouth and let them come to it every time. You have to be very relaxed when doing this also. If we don't do this, we risk making the dog not like getting treats or even being scared of getting them when we're doing these exercises. So instead of being rewarding, this whole treat thing can become somewhat punishing, which is exactly opposite of what we're looking for. I can't tell you how many times I've heard clients say their dog won't take treats while out on a walk, especially if they see a human or dog that scares them. When I see how they are delivering the treats, however, I understand why. They're kind of just stuffing them in the dog's mouth. In many cases, simply being gentler with the treat gets the dog readily accepting and enjoying them. All right, I'd like you to do two things before our next episode. Watch the body language video that I mentioned earlier. I provided a direct link to this free video in the episode notes, whether you're on YouTube or a podcast player. Next, practice giving treats to your dog in a more gentle way. Calmly and gently move the food about 1 inch in front of your dog's mouth and let them come to it. That's it. Next time, we'll start talking about a behavior exercise that you can do with your dog while taking them on their daily walk. Let me close this episode by reminding you that if you'd like to send me a written message or leave a voicemail for me, please go to grumpydogspodcast.com and you'll find a link to leave either one of those. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining me today. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with other dog lovers. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll continue our dive into the world of dog behavior.